to Genesis chapter 29. There is something about her subsequent behavior that leads me to believe that Leah was a lot like some of us. You know, if he just gets a sample of my cooking, he's gonna like me. You know, if he just can spend a little time at my place, he's gonna choose me. If you look at it, her subsequent behavior suggests that she believed she could earn Jacob's love by her performance. By her performance. Let's take a look at it, ladies. Let's go over to Genesis chapter 29. And notice in the 31st verse that God approved of Leah when nobody else did, including herself. It says, and when the Lord saw that Leah was despised, Jacob had two wives, he loved Rachel. Leah was despised. He made her able to bear children, but Rachel was barren. And Leah became pregnant and bore a son and named him Reuben. All right? Notice, this is the Amplified, what Reuben means. Reuben means see, a son. For she said, because the Lord has seen my humiliation and affliction, now my husband will love me. By performing, by giving him a son, he's going to like me best. All right? That suggests to me, her subsequent behavior suggests that she thought if she married, slept in the bridal chamber, that she believed she could earn his love and move her sister out of the way. All right? She believed that by competing with her sister, she could win him. She attempted to do so by performance. The first son is named Reuben, see a son. And she was saying, Jacob, look at me. Look at me, Jacob. I've given you a son. See a son. All right? She thought, now he's going to love me. She had another son. And she called this son Simon. Jehovah hears. She was saying, ladies, Jehovah hears. My husband doesn't hear me. My husband doesn't hear my cry for love, but God hears me. She's still performing. Still performing. The third son, Levi, that means attachment. She's still hoping that by competing with her sister, that she will outperform Rachel, and by outperforming her, she is going to win her husband's love. She says, surely now my husband will feel affection for me since I have given him three sons. Now he will value me. Now he will be my companion. Leah was trying to get Jacob's attention. T.D. Jakes, in his book, Daddy Loves His Girls, says that God was trying to bless Leah to give her an area of success to balance the bitterness of her failures, but she was trying to win Jacob by competition. Instead of resting in the fact that she was producing seed to Jacob and reveling in her appointment by God as the woman bearing fruit, she competed with her sister. She chose to envy her sister's position of the beloved. But ladies, there's one thing that I noticed as I went through this chapter. Regardless of the competition, regardless of the envy that went back and forth between these women, Jacob's heart was set. Jacob's heart was set, and I believe it was by God. The divine appointment he met at the well, Rachel. If you recall, Jacob's mother, Rebecca, met the servant at the well. You recall the story? Abraham sent a servant to get a wife for his son Isaac, and he got to the well, and he said, Lord, let it be the one to whom I say, water my camels, or let down your bowl, that she will not only give me water, but will water the camels. Rebekah was a divine appointment. She came up to the well. She was the first one. Divine appointment. If we look at Adam and Eve, God set Eve before Adam. He opened his eyes. You know, I believe an angel knocked him in his rib, and he opened his eyes, and there she was. Divine appointment. Heart set by God. Ladies, I'm convinced that God sets a man's heart. And it is not our competition, the strutting of our wares, that sets a man's heart. Now, men, if I'm wrong, don't say amen. Am I right? Is it set? Is it all the stuff? Or is the heart set by God? If you're a godly man, I believe you'll say amen. But now notice, as the story goes on, that Rachel wasn't content either. She wasn't content with being Jacob's beloved. She was envious of the four sons that Leah had birthed. She angrily demanded Jacob. She said, "Give me children unless I die." There was an intense rivalry that broke out between these sisters. Rachel demanded that Jacob have intercourse with her maid. And this maid got pregnant twice and had two sons. And Leah stopped having babies, so she had Jacob to sleep with her maid. And that maid had sons, back and forth. Jacob was being traded among those two women like a horse, back and forth. This home was permeated with anger, with strife, with jealousy, with rivalry, not love and harmony. Now, you know, some men might think, well, I couldn't think of a better situation. But Proverbs 27:4 says, anger is cruel and fury overwhelming, and who can stand before jealousy? I think Jacob had a very unpleasant situation. Here is Jacob, the center of rivalry of four women, because you know that if Rachel and Leah were competing, those maids were competing. So we've got four women involved in rivalry in a household. If there is competition between those sisters, it will filter down to the maids. It inflicted those maids, and it also affected those children. Life wasn't pleasant for Jacob. Proverbs 15:17 says, "Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox." And a stalled ox was a source of wealth and increase and hatred. Living with a contentious woman, Proverbs teaches us, is like living with a dripping in the roof when it rains. There is nothing worse than a contentious woman and a quarrelsome, angry woman. Am I right, men? Yeah. Amen. I thought I'd get an amen there. Proverbs, take a look at Proverbs 21:19 and Proverbs 27:15. It talks about being contentious, that a contentious woman is like dripping on a rainy day, and a cranky woman are much alike. And it goes on to say, you can no more stop her complaining than you can stop the wind or hold anything with oil slick hands. There is nothing worse than living with an angry, quarrelsome, cranky woman. And I'm a woman. But I'm determined I'm not going to be contentious. Life with Rachel was not pleasant. And consistent with the word of God, envy took its toll on Rachel. Proverbs 14:30 says that envy rots the bone of strength, robs the body of health. Rachel, the beloved, died early, giving birth to her second child. She was competing with her sister. She compared herself to her sister, neglected to see her state as beloved. And that jealousy led to hatred and to an early death. Now, ladies, we are not 100% responsible for some of the competition that goes on. All right? I think that we see quite often in the body of Christ godly men coming in, and it's like going to the bakery. Oh, I like that cream puff over there. Oh, but look at that chocolate eclair. Well, I think I want that Krispy Kreme donut over there. Coming in and looking over the body. Touching and sampling. Rather than letting God construct a divine appointment. It's time for us to grow up in the things of God. We are not a part of the world. We are not to act worldly. A divine appointment, ladies and men. This rivalry between these women also had an adverse effect on the children. If you look at Genesis 49, Jacob reviews the character of his children that were born of envy. And I want you to see that the character of those children are not the kind of character traits that we should want for our children. He calls Reuben unstable. He was unruly, disrespectful, slept with one of his father's concubines, one of the maids. Simeon and Levi were called cruel, angry, vicious. Judah, he called him, recognized some strengths in Judah. But we have to know that Judah was unfaithful. Judah was unfaithful in his promise to his daughter-in-law. You recall the story. Judah had several sons. The first one married Tamar, and that one died. And under the law, under the covenant that they operated under, the next son became her husband. He died. And he had a third son, and he refused to let her marry because he was afraid that he would die. So he sent her off to her home, and he was unfaithful. He promised her that she would marry that son, and he did not fulfill that promise. Some are called lazy, stubborn, unproductive. And ladies, I believe it was because that home was filled with strife, disharmony, and discord because of envy. We have envy in the church. It exists in male-female relationships. Man sees a woman, begins to establish relationship, and then the sisters get moving. Well, I'm going to, let me see if I can, maybe if I wear this, or maybe if I bring that, or maybe if I do this, or envy, competition, ladies. Competition, ladies. Competition in the choir. They asked her to sing that solo. Well, competition in the choir. We ought not to be competing when one is given the responsibility of handling the robes and another given that responsibility to lead a solo. Ministerial assignments. One gets assigned, the other, well, I'm as smart as that one. I could do that as well. They should have done it this way. Competition. Envy, ladies. Correcting, demanding, rather than submitting to God's ordination in the house. Envy is a problem, but the word of the Lord provides a methodology for getting out of it, overcoming envy. The first thing we must do is resist the temptation to compare ourselves to others. We are not to think more highly of ourselves. I'm not to sit there and say, well, my hair is as nice as hers. Well, I got a nicer car, and I can do this better than she can do it. And I sang that solo, and several folks fell out in the Holy Ghost. We are not to think more highly of ourselves than others. Each member of the body is essential for the proper functioning of the body. Each has a function, a measure of grace, with gifts differing. Be faithful, ladies, in exercising the gifts, and God will promote and add to your gifting. Be genuine in your love for others, preferring your sister, patient, prayerful. So we're first going to resist comparing ourselves to others. And second, we're going to recognize our uniqueness. Now, God gives each of us something very unique. Mine are my feet. I have 7.5 AAA feet. They used to turn the corner before I got there. I was like that little bozo balloon that you hit and it falls over and the feet fly up in the air. But when God saw my feet, and the Lord ministered this to me. He showed me Jesus standing at my birth, and he said, "Father, look at her feet. How beautiful are the feet of she who preaches the gospel of peace." I needed big feet. Recognize our uniqueness, because each of us is beautifully made. Third, rejoice in what you have. We must learn to be content with what we have and not anxious or impatient, always expecting or wanting what someone else has. Be content with what we have. You know, the Word of God says that we are to expect God's best, giving our tithes and our offerings, sowing seed, and expecting God to bless us. Be content with what I have and expect him to add more, because he is the God of abundance, the God of provision. God has promised that if we do not grow weary, that in due season we shall reap. We shall reap. And that is true whether we reap sow good seed or envy seed. All right? We're going to resist comparing ourselves to others. We're going to rejoice in what we have. And we're going to ask God for what we desire with the right motives. We're going to stop lusting after things. We're going to stop lusting after position. We're going to fire up our prayer life, get our motives pure. And we can get our motives pure by simply asking the Holy Spirit, "Holy Spirit, you know my heart better than I do. Show me my motives here." Because the Word of God tells us in James chapter 4, verse 2, that we have not because we ask not. We first ask not. And second, when we ask amiss with the wrong motive, for our good pleasure, not for God's good pleasure. So I'm going to resist the temptation to compare myself. I'm going to rejoice in what I have. I'm going to ask God for what I desire with right motives. And then I'm going to live a consecrated life. Galatians 5:25. I'm going to live in the Spirit. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to stay undercover, as we discussed this morning. I'm not going to move outside of love, joy, peace, long-suffering. When the devil pings my cannon, I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost and get the power to stand fast. I'm not going to be angry. I'm not going to get jealous when somebody else gets an opportunity. I'm going to pray and seek the heart of God. Ask where my assignment in the body is. I'm going to seek the wisdom that is from above. I'm going to get into the Word of God and let that word dwell mightily within. I'm going to avoid those who have a spirit of competition or those who are angry. The word teaches to avoid the angry man. I'm going to avoid those who compare me with others. A man walks into your life, ladies, and he starts comparing you. You don't have this, and Sister So-and-so has. Cut him loose. that is not the Spirit of God operating there. Avoid those who belittle you. Spend time with those who celebrate your uniqueness. And there are people in the body of Christ who will celebrate your uniqueness as you begin to celebrate the uniqueness of others. Because the word says that as a woman sows, she shall reap. And if you sow, celebrate. We're going to love with sincerity of heart. We're going to love and treat others as we desire to be treated. We're going to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Envy does just the opposite. Envy rejoices when her sister's husband walks out. Envy rejoices when her car stops. Envy rejoices when she gets a laryngitis and can't sing the solo and somebody else has got to do it. Envy rejoices when another is mistreated. Envy weeps when another is blessed. Envy does the opposite. We're going to pray for those. We're going to love, and we're going to pray for those who cause us to be angry, those who hurt us. Quite often that spirit of envy gets in because of anger. What happens, we see someone who really is flowing in a position, and for some reason we've seen their heart, they've mistreated us, they have done things that have hurt us, and we get angry, and then we move into envy. But we are to pray for those who spitefully use us. 7, we must know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are the apple of God's eye. There is no one that God loves better than each of us. I'm his favorite, but so are you. And I have to tell myself, I'm his favorite. Daddy, this is your favorite. I'm his favorite, so are you. Once you know this, you can trust God to provide you with whatever you need. You can trust him to make room for your gifts and your talents. You can trust him to bless you, and you need not envy. You need not let those sensual desires create wars within you, within the members, or within this body. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19 lists 6 things that God hates. And one of those, ladies, is he hates one that soweth discord among the brethren. That is one who is envy and jealous. I'd like to just pray for a minute for this house and bind a spirit of jealousy and competition from this house. And then if there are those of you who have individual needs, you've got an envy problem and you know it, you got a problem with jealousy, come down and let's bind that spirit and just loose the spirit of love. But I would like to pray for this house because this is a house mightily anointed of God. This is a house anointed and appointed to birth ministries, to birth ministers. When I was here, I called it the Harvard of preachers. God has anointed this house for that purpose, and this house must fulfill its destiny in God. There must be unity, a spirit of love within this body, so that this body can continue to produce good, wholesome fruit. Otherwise, the body of Christ will lack giftings and anointings that should have been birthed here. Let us pray. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for the divine destiny that you have ordained for First Institutional Baptist Church. And I thank you for the man of God in whom you sowed a vision, a vision to speak to this community, a vision to speak to this state, a vision, Lord, that goes beyond Arizona. And Father God, I ask for a fresh anointing on this house, a fresh move of your Spirit, a fresh empowering of the Holy Ghost, not only for the house, Father, but for the man of God who is the head, the under-shepherd and head of this house. And Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus by the power of God's Holy Spirit from this house. I bind a spirit of jealousy and competition and envy and anger in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. You will not operate in this place. And I command you to loose your hold on this congregation in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And Father, you said whatever is bound on earth is bound in heaven, and those spirits are bound in heavenly places. And whatever is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. And Father, I loose in the name of Jesus a spirit of truth, a spirit of love, a spirit of understanding, a meek spirit, a quiet spirit, all characteristics of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost. And Father, I ask that as the word comes forth unhindered from this pulpit, by the man of God that you've anointed here, that the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, all, Father, all fruits, but especially those, meekness, gentleness, kindness, Lord, faith, that fruit would grow up, mature fruit, Lord, so that the lost and dying world can pluck that fruit and eat, Lord, of a pure, juicy fruit of this church, Father, this body. Now, Father, have your way in this place. Minister your peace. Keep them, Father. I thank you, Lord, for their love. I thank you that this is a place where we can know the love of God, the acceptance of God. And I ask, Lord, that you rekindle in this people a zeal for you, a zeal for your word. Father, I ask for a fresh fire of the Holy Ghost, Father, to rain down on this body, giving it new life in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Amen.